And greetings to you on this, the first morning of our encampment here. Well, actually, it's not the first morning because we were here yesterday. But it's good to be here this morning, top of the morning to you. Hope you had a restful and a pleasant and peaceful night of slumber and rejuvenation, and that you are up today to up today to be about your Father's business. Amen. Let's pray for those who are on their way even now to High River to engage in ministry, in being the hands of God, the ears of God, the eyes of God, but also, and perhaps most importantly, the heart of God, as they extend themselves to those who have been victimized by the elements of nature. God loves them, and he will demonstrate his love to them through us, his people. He has no feet but our feet, no hands but our hands, no eyes but our eyes. And so let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are on their way to High River. Amen? Amen. It's a little nippy on the outside, but that's okay. We'll weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether the weather is good or bad. Amen. And that's the beauty of the English language, too. We'll weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether the weather is good or bad. If you can repeat that for me, I'll give you a dime. Amen. Our theme, walk with him. Walk with him. And Jesus invites us to walk with him. And only as we walk with him will we grow to become more like him, because in beholding, we become changed. We need to be with him. He invites us to walk with him in paths of righteousness, in paths of service, in paths of obedience and commitment. He wants us to walk with him. Only as we walk with him will we also walk with each other. Only as we walk with him will we show that we are obeying him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You've got to be able. You have to agree with him to walk with him. This morning, we're going to go to the Synoptic Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, the fifth chapter, the rather familiar incident that serves as a bookend of sorts at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as he called men to walk with him, as he called his disciples or disciples to walk with him. Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke, the fifth chapter. Verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, I'm reading from the NIV, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep waters and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But, I like that but, that conjunction there, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Don't wash your nets. Our Father and our God, we thank you for a brand new day, a new week, a new lease on life. Thank you for this encampment, for the privilege and for the joy we have of being here. In this place, away from the hustle and bustle of life out here in nature, where we can reflect on your goodness, rekindle relationships with men and women of like faith, and where we may be encouraged for the journey ahead. We pray your blessings upon us now as we open your word. Let all of God's people say, Amen. 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 All night long, these men had fished. Peter and Andrew and James and John. All night long, they had been out there on the seas, in their boats, fishing, doing what they did for a living. Now, we must understand that these men were not novices. They were not amateurs. They were fishermen by trade. And two of them, James and John, were the sons of a fisherman. They were experts. They knew their trade. They knew their craft. They fished for a living, but on this occasion, as morning broke over the seas of Gennesaret, they had nothing to show for their night of labor. All night long, they had tarried. All night long, they had labored. All night long, they had toiled, but as morning broke, they limped to shore, not with a full net of fish, but with an empty net and with empty hearts also. Later on, you might recall when Jesus asked them to launch out into the deep, they responded, Master, we have toiled all night long and we have caught nothing, nada, zilch, zero. Absolutely nothing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever failed at something for which your education and your training and your background shouted, "This is mine, success is guaranteed"? Have you ever failed at something at which you should have succeeded with flying colors? Have you ever been there? Have you ever fished all night long and came up with absolutely nothing? You tried, but you failed in spite of your expertise. You tried, but you fail in spite of your education. You fight, you tried, but you fail in spite of your best efforts. Now we can understand the failure of the incompetent, the failure of the lazy, the failure of those who procrastinate. We can understand their failure, but the failure of the wise and the educated and the experts, that is a little more difficult to resonate with, to understand, to grasp. Yes. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? All night long, here is morning. The sun may be up, but they were down. The sun may have been up, but it was still midnight in their soul. And thus they were washing their nets. In other words, they had decided to call it a night, to call it a day. We tried, but we failed. Failure. Failure. We've all failed at something, haven't we? Some of us have failed at our careers. Some of us have failed with our relationships, our marriages. Some of us may have failed at school, our pursuits, pursuing our dreams or goals, our ambitions. Have you ever been there? Have you ever really experienced abject failure? Absolute failure. You've tried, you've come up with zilch, and you are washing your nets, calling it a day. Along came Jesus. Here were these men, frustrated, fatigued, and failures. Master, we have tried, we caught nothing. Along comes Jesus, telling them to launch out into the deep. The implication is that they may have failed, if we can read into the experience. They may have failed for a couple of reasons. Number one, it appears that they failed because they had fished in shallow waters. You see, Jesus said to them, launch out into the deep. So they may have fished because they were in shallow waters. And the fact of the matter is that many of us live our lives clutching or being close to the shores. We're scared to launch out, to go out into the deep. Whether we are cowards or for whatever reason, we hug the shores. It is safe to be near the shore, like children paddling in the waters, we hug the shores. It's safe there. There's a certain superficiality and shallowness to our conversations. We never discuss the deep things of life. In our relationships, in our conversations, we talk about the banal and the superficial and that which is really surface, the weather, so forth and so on. We never really discussed the deep philosophical and theological things of life. There's also superficiality to our relationships. Many of us, we go through life experiencing nothing but superficial relationships, superficiality in our relationships, surface stuff. We never really get to know each other on a deep level. On a deep level. Even husbands and wives, sometimes after years of marriage, what they know about each other, they know factual stuff, how tall, how high, this thing. But in terms of what we think and where we are, philosophically and theologically, we never self-disclose. We never self-disclose. See, self-disclosure is difficult for many of us. Some of us aren't even self-aware. And if you're not self-aware, then you won't self-disclose. You've got to be self-aware first, and then you have to be self-accepting. Then you self-disclose. But some of us, we don't want to face the truth about ourselves. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We don't want to face the truth about ourselves, so we hide behind facades and masks. And we never reveal ourselves, and there's no depth to our relationships. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Yet God wants us to launch out into the deep, even in terms of our relationships. And then, of course, in terms of our walk with God. Many of us really, we don't dwell in the deep theological truths of Scripture and of the age of the times. We engage in conversations about superficial stuff in terms of what we believe. But the deep, deep things of Scripture, I mean, what reminds us that even in eternity, we will be studying some things like the incarnation, which she says, if you want a deep subject to study, dwell on the incarnation. That's something we shall be wrestling with and discussing and studying throughout eternity. So there's a certain superficiality to our lives. When the fact of the matter is that God wants us to launch out into the deep. The deep, the deep, the deep. The other reason it appears that these men had failed is that they had been on the seas without Jesus. Now, to be sure, Jesus was about to call them. They had not been called as yet, but they had been out there without Jesus. And beloved, let me tell you something. This morning, if you don't know it already, and that is, to sail the seas of life without Jesus will result in only one thing. And that is, we will limp back to shore with empty nets. Without Jesus, life is an inevitable failure. Without Jesus, you will come back to shore with nothing to show for your night of labor and toil. Without him, be in for a letdown. You might recall after his resurrection, Peter, then John declared to his fellow disciples, I'm going back fishing. He went back fishing, and John says he, again, when morning broke, he had nothing to show. There was Jesus on the shore. Jesus said to them, launch out again and let down your net on the right side. They did that, and they caught a bunch of fish. So we have these two fishing expeditions here at the beginning of their walk with God, with Jesus, and then at the resurrection of Jesus, after the resurrection of Jesus, and both times, Peter and his crew came up with nothing because they dared to go out without Jesus. Without him, we are bound to fail. So there they were, about to washing their nets. Jesus showed up. And the scene changed. That's what I like about Jesus, you know. He always shows up at the right time. And whenever he does, the scene will change. A night of failure will become a morning of sweet success when Jesus shows up. Come on, say amen, somebody. When Jesus shows up, disappointment becomes victory and success when Jesus shows up. Nightmares become sweet dreams. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? When Jesus showed up, those fishermen understood the words of the psalmist when he declared, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Launch out into the deep, Jesus said to them. You know the story. What did Simon answer? Verse 5 of Luke 5. Master, We've worked hard all night, and we caught nothing. This is the first time the Greek word epistata is used here. Master. We've worked hard. Thank God for the hard work. They weren't lazy or incompetent. But we caught nothing. But because you say so. The King James Version says, nevertheless. That's a word that looks back but also looks forward. That conjunction there. But, because you say so. And may I interject here? In terms of our theme, walk with him. When you walk with him, you do what he says. We have toiled all night long. But because you say so. And that makes all the difference in the world. Who is saying so? Now, let's understand what's going on here. These men, again, were experts in the fishing business. From boyhood, they had toiled the Galilean seas. They knew about the perils and possibilities of that sea. They knew about the trials and the tempests that would roar from time to time. Two of them were the sons of fishermen. They were the experts. Not only that, they had fished the night before at the right time, with the right equipment, and with the right training. But here's this carpenter, hello somebody, this carpenter telling professional fishermen who had done what they do best for a living to go back out into the ocean. And Peter says, we've done that. Been there, done that. Came up empty-handed, but because you say so. Let me back up for a moment. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. We, the experts. We, the learned. We, the experienced. We, the ones with the degrees. We, the one with the money. We, the foundation members, we, the ones who go back to the days when this church was established, we who know what we are doing, we, the experts. Are you listening to me? We. That's something we hear around our churches. We've tried this before and it failed. Pastor, we've been here. We were here when this church was established. We. Our parents built this church. We know what we're doing. We know this area. And we know there aren't that many people to be saved here. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We know that we don't have young people here. There aren't any young people in this area, in this community. We've tried that and failed. And that's where most of us stop. We have tried all night long. Coming up with nothing. We need to do what Peter did. But because you say so. That's another story of another sermon right there, preachers. But because you say so. And that makes all the difference. If you're going to walk with him, you got to learn to take him at his word. If you're going to walk with him, you've got to accept him as his word. If you're going to walk with him, you've got to trust him. If you're going to walk with him, you've got to rely. Now, to be sure, and this is where it gets real interesting. To be sure, the word of Jesus, the admonition of Jesus, the instructions of Jesus, the directions of Jesus often do not make much sense from a human standpoint. See, what could have been more ludicrous than these fishermen, these experts, these knowledgeable folk who had fished all night at the right time, at the right time, with the right equipment, coming up with empty, with nothing, going out to fish in big, broad daylight. And could you imagine, they must have been saying to themselves, listen, you are about to embarrass us. Everybody is going to know now that we went out there in big broad daylight. Huh? And we are going to come back with nothing. We're going to look like fools. But no, they took Jesus at his word. But because you say so. When you walk with him, you take him at his word. Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his love. When we do his good will. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. When we walk with the Lord, we do his good will. But because you say so, launch out. Instead of washing our nets, what Jesus wants from us today is that we launch out. And that we let down. Let me tell you something. The shore may be a safe place. But you'll never make great discoveries or experience the blessings of Jesus at the shore. Great discoveries were never made at the shore. They were made as men launched out. That's how great discoveries are made. So we need to cut the cables of cowardice and launch out into the deep. In our personal lives, in our corporate lives, organizationally, we need to launch out into the deep. Deep calleth unto deep. Launch out and let down. Yes, the undertaking may seem daunting. And yes, the possibilities and probabilities may seem minimal. But because he says so, we need to launch out on his word. Nevertheless, at thy word. And so, a critical question, ladies and gentlemen, for us to ask ourselves individually and then corporately is there something that God is telling you to do today that does not make sense? Is there something that God is telling you to do that does not add up from a human standpoint? Now, there's something else that's rather interesting about this incident that I need to underscore at this point in time. There's so much. This is a rich passage here. Number one, these guys had failed. But notice that Jesus was sending the same men back into the waters. Now, don't skip past that. Because, you see, from a worldly standpoint, organizations usually say, well, you had your chance and you failed. We're going to try somebody else. Huh? You had your opportunity. Let somebody else go now. Aren't you glad that Jesus gives us a second chance? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Aren't you glad? Jesus did not send a new crew. You see, the world says, yes, the vessel needs to be launched again, but with a different crew. Jesus sent the same crew back into the waters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are the God of a second chance. You won't say to me, get out of the way. You've had your chance. You'll give me a second chance. And I'll take it because you say so. And then Jesus sent them back into the same waters, not into different waters. Jesus will often again begin the point of our recovery just where we had failed. Go back. And so a critical question for some of us today is God sending you back to something at which you failed before? A failed career? A failed relationship? Is God sending you back there? Does it make sense? But because you say so. You know the story. These men went back and they caught such a boatload of fish that they needed help. They had to call their brothers who were nearby. Come, help us. They had launched out. They had let down. They had to have help. I can say something about that, but let me move on. And then, they let go. They let go. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and began to walk with him. Launch out, let down, let go. Notice, don't miss this. These fishermen abandoned their careers for Jesus when they were at the top of their game. Hello. They did not decide to follow Jesus when they had failed. No, when they had caught the biggest catch of their life. How many fishermen we have out here? I know this is God's country, wild country, so some of you may go fishing from time to time. Fishermen love to brag, they tell me, when they have caught the big one. They want to come back to shore and brag to the boys. Guess what? This is what I caught today. And they gotta, you know, they take pictures and now they'll put it on the internet now. These men, this is what they had lived for and worked for. To be able to say, hey, world, look what we caught today. But when they had achieved the most from a human standpoint, is when they decided to let it go and to follow Jesus. We talk about the miracle of the catch. I think this is the bigger miracle, that professional fishermen abandoned their careers to follow a carpenter on the biggest day of their lives. Think about it. They decided to let go, to walk with him. He said, from now on, I'll make you fishers of men. Ladies and gentlemen, have you failed at something? Have you failed at something? If you have, the admonition to you this morning is, don't wash your nets. Instead, launch out, let down, and let go. then follow Jesus. Walk with him. I don't know if this is basketball country. I know this is Canada. You don't play certain sports up here, but I'm sure you know about the game of basketball. Recently, you know, I know you perhaps don't know it, but recently during the NBA finals in game 6 between the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs, the Heat were down by about 5 points with about a little over 20 seconds to go. It didn't look good for them. Everybody thought they were going to lose the game. And as a matter of fact, my wife and I, we were watching the game. They had began to wheel out the championship trophy. So sure was everybody that the Spurs were going to win. They were up, what, 3-2 in this best of 7 series. And they were leading. Everybody thought the Heat were going down in defeat. Their fans began to stream out of the arena. The trophy was being wheeled out, but somebody must have said to LeBron James and Ray Allen and the rest of them, don't wash your nets. It's not over till it's over. Just about that time, swish, LeBron hit a 3-pointer, cut the lead. Before you know it, boom, the ball went to Ray Allen, swish, another 3-pointer. The game was tied up, went into overtime. They won in overtime, forcing a deciding 7th game, which they also won. Don't wash your nets. It's not over yet. It's not over. Jesus will give you another chance here. But because you say so. Things don't look good right now. That's all right. Don't wash your nets. Instead, launch out. Let down and let go. As you let go, you follow him. You walk with him to become a fisher of men. Who wants to walk with him this morning? Yes. Who wants to launch out into the deep? Who wants to take him at his word and let down? Who then wants to abandon all to walk with him? Stand to your feet if that's your desire and your wish this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you this day that failure, what appears to be failure now, need not be ultimate failure. Jesus is about to show up in our lives, and when he does, the scene will change. Our nightmares will become sweet dreams. The clouds of discouragement and despair will be forced away. Thank you, O God, that we can rely on your word, that we can take you at your word. But because you say so, it makes all the difference in the world. Who is telling us to launch back out into the deep? Oh Lord, may we not throw up our hands in despair. Like those disciples, oh God, may we not wash our nets, but instead may we be willing to launch out, to let down, and to let go. Then to follow you, to walk with you as we become fishers of men. We thank you, we praise you, world without end, for being with us. Grant us a beautiful day today of fellowship and growth and joy. Thank you that you are our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.
How many of you are feeling warmer all of a sudden? It's not because the temperature went up. Thank you, Dr. Jones, so much. Just want to remind you this evening, you want to be here at 7 o'clock for the Keepers of the Faith. Don't forget, that was one of those things that we didn't remind you of earlier.